O Lord God, we thank you that you have spoken. You have chosen to reveal yourself to us. And now as we open up your word, we pray that you may unstop our ears, that we may hear you speaking to us. Give us that spirit of awe and fear of a Daniel before you, and that you may give us wisdom and help us to be like Daniel, that we may stand firm in an evil age, and that we may follow you all the days, all the way, in Jesus' name. Well, may I invite you to turn back to Daniel chapter 9. Well, this morning we shall consider very briefly this chapter. Let me read to you verses 1 to 5 again. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God, to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precept and your judgment. Dear friends, I don't know how good is your memory, but I sort of remember that 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Australia Day. Seemed to me like ages ago. At the closing of that sermon, we were reminded that prayer is fundamental, not supplemental. Well, we just have some unprecedented, horrific bushfire, and now the rainstorm, and if we are careful about the well news, the well is living under a shadow of a new virus that could be deadly unless it is contained. I don't want to quote wrong figures, but at least 50 million people in China have been locked down, and people in those cities were not allowed to go out freely. And these cities may mean nothing to you, but they are the strongholds of car manufacturers and IT and important factories. And the Lord spares us, but if not, we may face shortage of quite a number of things very quickly. And having to don a face mask wherever I got out of home in Hong Kong for the past week, and seeing people lining up to buy face masks, some people actually stay up all night lining up to buy some face masks. If you can buy face masks here in Sydney, tell me. I want to get some. I don't think you can. We feel a sense of urgency and need. And my dear friends, if such events do not drive us to prayer, we don't know what would. It's a time for prayer. And yet, if we're honest, we have to confess prayer is not easy. Prayer is not just mouthing a few sentences and uttering some pet phrases. Real prayer is not easy. We feel that though the times are difficult, yet we have to be squeezed to be able to say something in prayer. And even though something are not, we feel are not really, really prayer. We notice great preachers seldom preach on prayer. For good reason. Men of God who truly pray know that prayer is not easy. We don't find naturally to have the spirit of prayer. We can spend time, hours, talking with each other. Is it not so? Half an hour, 2 hours. And yet, to spend 20 minutes in prayer is difficult. And that's why there are many examples of prayer in the Bible. To encourage us to pray and also to instruct us about how we should pray. In Australia, I learned many years ago the emergency number is 000. In America, it's 911. I wonder what's the number in Singapore and Indonesia and China. But in Hong Kong, well, the emergency number is 999. Remember that? 999. There are 3 chapters in the Bible which contain magnificent prayers in different circumstances. Actually, difficult circumstances. And I want us to learn from these 999 chapters on prayer. What are they? 999, Daniel 9, Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9. I believe we can learn a fair bit from the 999s of these prayers. And these prayers are recorded as sample prayer, not for us to recite, but for us to learn how to pray. So this morning, Daniel 9. A bit of background to the book of Daniel. Now, Sunday school children may remember that song, Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. I better not sing it. I don't quite know how to sing it. But Dare to be a Daniel. Daniel was a privileged young man, but as a teenager, he was taken to Babylon as a slave in the first wave of exile in the year 605 BC. We surmise Daniel must come from a well-to-do, if not well-to-do, at least, well, if not even just well-to-do, but quite possibly a noble family. He was certainly a bright young fellow from a good background, but imagine he was taken as a slave to Babylon. But Daniel lived a long and useful life, first under the Babylonians and then under the Persian Empire. And for most of his life, he was a government official. He was a civil servant. But serving pagan empires As I said, first the Babylonians and the Persians. And even though he served idol worship kings, he was a faithful believer in the God of Israel from the days of his youth up. In all the characters in the Bible, Daniel, among them, was the most godly and Christ-like person. And Daniel, even in his lifetime, was well known as a man of prayer. Can you imagine that? Even during his lifetime, even as a government official, as an exile, he was well known as a man of prayer. And this morning we're going to learn from Daniel's prayer in his ninth chapter about how we should pray. The first lesson we learn from this prayer of Daniel is that our prayer is to be informed by Scripture. Notice in verse 2. In the first year of Darius' reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, that means by Scriptures, the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. God was very gracious to the people of Israel. Before they went into exile in Babylon, before the destruction of Jerusalem, God told them that the exile will last for 70 years. 70 years was not a short time, yet it was not terribly long. And Daniel found himself, what amazingly, to survive 70 years. Well, we surmise when Daniel was taken as exile to Babylon, he would be about maybe 12, 13, 14, 15. And he knew that prophecy of 70 years of captivity. And he was amazed to be able to live to the day that he could say, well, now 70 years have passed. Now is the time for us to return home. So I must redouble my effort and I must pray that the Lord may fulfill his promise to set us free. We learn, first of all, from Daniel's prayer that his prayer is informed by Scripture. So often, in our prayer, we just pray whatever we like. Is it not so? We may have a problem, we may have a difficulty, we may see the world to be in such a situation. And we just pray whatever we feel like to pray. Without any forethought, without any study of Holy Scriptures, we just say whatever we want to say, and we think we're praying. Well, in light of this virus in China, I guess my first instinct is to pray to the Lord, Lord, stop it, immediately. Won't you pray like that? And I confess, I pray like that. But when I sat down and thought more and watched the news more and see the unfolding of events, I say to myself, how should I pray? What does this mean? What is God doing? My dear friends, this is the secret. Pray in light of scriptures and also in light of the news. Don't just read the news, read the Bible, pray for the Spirit illumination, and that you may learn how to pray appropriately. And dear friends, we are to be consciously aligning our prayer with the teaching of the Word of God. This is the situation the world is facing, or I'm facing. This is the difficulty, whatever that is. Okay? How does that fit in with the Word of God? What has God to say to this sort of situation? And then we try to align our prayer in line with Scripture. So coming back to Daniel. Jeremiah the prophet, the man of sorrow, he was given this unpleasant task to leave before the exile to see the destruction of Jerusalem, to send off his own country people, men and women, seeing them to go to exile. But God gave him this prophecy that the exile will last 70 years. 70 years. And also Jeremiah was given by God's revelation the reason for the exile. He foretold that Jerusalem would be destroyed. He foretold that the temple would be razed down. And he was given by God to tell the people the reason for that. You know why you're going to exile? You know why the holy city will be destroyed? Why the temple will be razed down? It is because of your sins. And people hated him for that. The Babylonians were surrounding Jerusalem, and all the false prophets were prophesying peace and security and encouraging the people, fight on, don't be afraid, the Lord is with you, you will survive. But people like to hear that sort of message. 2,400 years ago, and also now, people don't want to go to church and to be told that they are sinners and they will perish unless they repent. People come to church to be encouraged, right? To be comforted. That's why Jeremiah is such a bad guy. He was put in prison. He was called a traitor. People hated him. People say, you must be a traitor to our country. You must be a spy of the Babylonians. And Daniel said, I'm not. I love you people. I pray for you people. But this is the message I've given by God to tell you. Well, that was Jeremiah's explanation of the exile. But of course, there were alternative explanations of the exile. In Jeremiah's day, after the destruction of Jerusalem, after they went to exile, there were people complaining and saying, you know why we've gone to exile? You know why we've got all this calamity? It's because we stopped worshipping the Queen of Heaven under Josiah, King Josiah's reform. Not too long ago, we stopped worshipping the idols, the Queen of Heaven, and now we've got this. There was an alternative explanation and interpretation of the events. And of course, some others might be saying, in the typical way of the thinking of those days, well, you know why we got this calamity? While our city was destroyed and our temple razed down and our people went to exile, it is because the Babylonian gods are stronger and greater than our God, Jehovah. It has to be, isn't it? Our God can protect us. The Babylonian gods are great. They have conquered us. This is the reason. And we modern day people, the historians, will say something like this, as they are suddenly saying, well, the exile to Babylon, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, this is only the normal course of history. Babylonia rose up. Judah was a tiny little country right there in the heart of the Middle East. What do you expect? Suddenly, little Judah could not survive. But little Judah survived the rise of the Assyrian Empire 100 years ago under the days of Hezekiah and Isaiah and so on. Amazingly, Judah survived 100 years ago, but this time it did not survive. And God's word through the prophet Jeremiah is so clear. It's because of the sins of God's people. And Daniel's prayer here was informed by the whole Bible. Go down to Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. This is what Daniel says. Yes, all this world has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. Lord, this is right. Because we have transgressed your law, we have departed, we have not listened to your voice. And this happened just as Moses has told us. When did Moses live? 900 years before Daniel. Verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all these disasters has come upon us. You see? He's confessing to God, your word has said, we should have these disasters because of our sin. And it happened just like that. So the first lesson we learn about how we should pray is that our prayers must be informed by the word of God. Try and understand your situation, the situation of the world, in the light of the Holy Scriptures. And then pray accordingly. That's why Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said it so many times. Think before you pray. I have been trying to learn that lesson. I don't know for how long. Since the first time I heard that. Think before we pray. Perhaps we should think, we should spend more time in thinking before we pray. And then we move on. We notice in this prayer of Daniel is interacting with the covenant Lord. By interaction, I do not mean that Daniel is relating to God as his equal, no. But Daniel is conscious that he's interacting with the covenant Lord. My dear friends, what is prayer? What is prayer? We don't see God. God is invisible. When we pray, we don't see him. We don't see his presence with our physical eyes. But we are not just talking to ourselves. We are not just speaking to the air. No, by faith we know we are interacting with God. We are relating to him. No less than we are talking with our friends or with our loved ones It's for will. Prayer is a will communication. God does hear, and the Holy Spirit does move in our heart so that we are led to about how we should pray. Friends, you know, one of the benefits in coming to a prayer meeting is this. We learn from each other. And we are led by the Holy Spirit when we hear the prayer of other people. I don't know for how many times in our Saturday morning prayer meeting, I felt, oh Lord, you are leading this dear sister to pray in this way. I should have been praying like that. But clearly your Spirit is leading us through this sister or brother. That is the romance of attending a prayer meeting. We are not just turning up in a meeting. We're not just learning from each other. It's rather that the Holy Spirit is leading us corporately in prayer. And many a times I say, oh, this is the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit. This is God the Spirit who is putting words into the mouth of this dear sister or brother. So come back to Daniel. He's conscious, he's dealing with God, the covenant Lord. You notice here Daniel is representing the people of Israel. All through this prayer he says, most of the time, maybe once or twice he said I, but most of the time he said we. In public prayer, we say we. And most of the time in public prayer here, I say we. You know why? Why didn't I say I? Sometimes I say that, but not often. Why we? Because I'm representing you in prayer. If you agree, say amen. And Daniel is here consciously representing the people of Israel. Even though, interestingly enough, he was not a priest. He was not a king. He was not even a prophet. Even though there are prophecies in Daniel, he was not a professional prophet like Jeremiah. He was not a priest like Ezekiel, or Jeremiah was a priest as well. You know, the priests were appointed to pray for the people. It was not Daniel's calling. And the kings were to pray for the people. He was not a king. He was not even a prophet, as I said. He was what? A government official under foreign occupation or foreign government. He was, shall we say, just an ordinary believer in the God of the Bible, and that teaches us all the people of God are to pray for the church and the nation. You don't have to be an elder, you don't have to be a minister to pray for the church and the nation. And Daniel is here praying simply as a believer for his people. That teaches us the importance of intercessory prayer. We are called, every one of us here, who name the name of Christ, to be intercessors. We may not be able to do much, but friends, you know, prayer itself achieves much more than all the other things put together. Do you believe that? Only eternity will reveal how much the advancement of God's kingdom is due to the humble prayer of God's most humble people. Let me give you perhaps an example or two. Many, many years ago, but only the last century, the 20th century, There was a church in Aberdeen, just Scotland, which was going to close down. I believe it was near the city centre, Aberdeen, next to a big bus stop, never been to Aberdeen before. That church was going to close down, but there was a godly lady in that church who had been praying for many, many years, for decades, that the Lord may send an evangelical, gospel-believing, Bible-preaching preacher to that church. And she prayed on and prayed on, and the church was going to close down. You know what? Their prayer was answered in the coming of William Steele, an eccentric. He was an eccentric. Was called to Aberdeen, to that church in, I think, to Compton South in Aberdeen, and he exercised a long ministry there. And simply by the preaching of God's word, and Mr. Steele preached through the Bible a number of times, amazing feat. And that brought about, silently, quite a movement in the Christian church. People like Sinclair Ferguson, Douglas Kelly, and many, many others were helped and taught by Mr. Steele in their congregation. Well, it was all through the prayer of a godly woman for many years. I remember as a child, there was a Bible woman, more or less like a woman minister in our church, who went into China in the height of the Cultural Revolution. And she spent 40 days in prayer, praying for China. I was thinking to myself in those days, in my unbelief, but with a limited knowledge of politics and so on, there's no church in China. There's hardly any Christian in China. Why go in there and spend 40 days doing nothing but prayer? It seemed to be a waste of time, was it? Make sure you're saved. Make sure you get to heaven. And then you're going to know to what extent the revival of the church in China is due to the prayer of such humble, godly women. And Daniel is very conscious of Israel's relationship with the Lord. Look at verse 4. Daniel chapter 9. And I pray to the Lord my God, and make confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. And the attitude of Daniel in this prayer is that of deep humility and yet of faith. I've said that he's conscious of interacting, dealing with the covenant Lord. But it's very interesting that in Daniel chapter 9, the covenant name of God, Yahweh, Jehovah, is used very sparingly. Most of the time, if you look at the text carefully, L-O-R-D is spelled in small letters. In our English Bible, when you come across the name of the Lord in the Old Testament spelled in capital letters, L-O-R-D in capital letters, that means the name of the covenant name of God, Jehovah, Yahweh, but L-O-R-D in the normal spelling means simply Master. He's hesitant to use the covenant name of God. So hesitant that he only used, I think, only a couple of times, not many times. That deep humility. And his confession of sins repeatedly. How many times he has used in confessing the sins of his people. Look at verse 5, for example. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled. We have departed from your precept and judgment. We have not listened to your servant, the prophet. Verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face. Same verse, verse 7. Our unfaithfulness, which we have committed against you. Verse 8. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Verse 10. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And so on. I lost count how many times Daniel confesses on behalf of his people their sins. Let us learn. A great part of our prayer, especially intercessory prayer, has to be confession of sins. My dear friends, people don't like it. People will hate you for saying that. But our prayer must be informed by the Bible. And if so, our intercessory prayer especially has to include a good amount of confession of sins. We have to confess to God. Australia has sinned. We are a lustful country. We are a rebellious country. We've been so outrageous in our sins. We have to confess to God. We are a money-loving culture. We have to say to God, my family has sinned. My children have been rebellious. We have worshipped idols of the making of our hearts. Be brave. Be honest. Dare you to be Daniel? And Daniel acknowledges God's justice in judging them instead of blaming God for the exile. Look at verse 11. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. And therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against us. Verse 12, and he has confirmed his word which he spoke against us and against our judges who judge us by bringing upon us a great disaster for under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Israel. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Verse 14, therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. What a prayer. Lord God, you are just in punishing us. You are righteous in judging us. Lord, we deserve this brute fine worse. You have been patient with us. Lord, my family does not deserve to survive. But we do by your grace. Lord, this world deserves to be destroyed. We deserve a far worse virus. But you have been merciful. Oh, dear. This is how Daniel pray. Now people may say to us, you are counseling despair. Oh no, no. There are a lot of confession of sins here, but you know what Danny is driving at? He has faith. The whole point of this prayer is asking God's mercy to restore Jerusalem. It's so encouraging. Okay, look at verse 15. The end of it. We have sinned, we have done wickedly, but verse 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. According to your righteousness, according to your mercy, turn your wrath away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Verse 17. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. How encouraging that is. It's not because we are righteous, not because we deserve anything. We have sinned, we have rebelled, we deserve nothing but your judgment. But Lord, for your name's sake, for your own sake, for your mercy's sake, for your righteousness' sake, cause your face to shine upon us. Turn away your anger from our nation, from our people. Can we not pray like that? We say to the Lord, we deserve nothing better, but we are called by your name, our church here, my family is called by your name. Have mercy upon us. For your name's sake, shine upon us. Give us the countenance of your face with these difficulties. But Lord, for your mercy's sake, we solve this problem for us. Let us hear how urgently Daniel pleads with the Lord in verse 18. Oh my God. It's getting personal, isn't it? Incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. This is the prayer of Daniel. And friends, may we dare to be Daniel and learn prayer from Daniel chapter 9. This earnest petition, supplication, confession of sins, and pleading, petitions for God's mercy. We're too cold in our prayer. I will build myself. Why are there no tears in your prayer? But I can't squeeze a single tear. But God help us to have the spirit of prayer of a Daniel, pleading with the Lord. Now before I finish, I would like us to notice God's immediate answer to Daniel's prayer. In verse 20, now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly with me about the time of evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. How long does it take us to read Daniel chapter 9? Maybe about 4 to 5 minutes. But Daniel must be praying like this for hours. True prayer takes time. You know, friends, in days gone by, in a typical church service, in the main prayer, the minister would pray something like at least 15 minutes. If any minister should pray 15 minutes in church now, he may be kicked out of the church. But while Daniel was still praying, the angel Gabriel was sent to him to give him the answer. It was an immediate answer, but like, friends, I want to tell you this. This was not the first time Daniel prayed for his people. Daniel must have been praying like this for the past 70 years. Except this time, the answer came visibly, immediately. For the past 70,000 times and more, there was apparently no answer. You ask me, how do you get your figure? Simple. We are told that Daniel prayed 3 times a day, right? And as a youngster, he was like that. So he survived 70 years of the exile, 70 times 365 times 3. Well, my figure is over 70,000. And we can be sure that Daniel did not just recite a formula when he prayed. When Daniel prayed, he really prayed. And now the answer came. What is the answer? Christ is the answer. In verse 24, to disappoint you, we actually will not look at this. But I just mentioned this. Literally, 70 servants are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 sevens and 62 sevens, which is literally sevens there. The streets shall be built again at the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Sin is the problem. Christ is the answer. And one day, this problem of sin will be dealt with once and for all. But Daniel understands there's to be a 77s. What does it mean? It means the final solution is not yet. Daniel, you have survived 70 years. You are going to live to see the return of the exile. Interestingly, Daniel himself did not return to Judea. He stayed on in Babylon. He did not return for some reasons. Maybe he couldn't. You survived to see the fulfillment of the 70 years of exile, but it shall be 70 times 7. Shall be still a long way off before sin shall be finally dealt with. So what does it mean? Daniel, you are to live by faith. You are to wait. So that's a lesson for us as well. So often, we pray and we have to wait And for Daniel, it was told him explicitly at the end of this book, he would not see Christ on the final days. He will die in faith. So shall we live by faith. And most likely, we have to die in faith as well, and not see the end. The Lord is patient. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, you have taught us how to pray in your word. Yes, we have the Lord's Prayer. We have the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus in John 17. But we also have the prayers of Daniel, of Solomon, of Ezra, of Nehemiah, of Abraham, of Jacob, of Moses, of David. There's so much in the Bible for us to learn about prayer. Help us, O God, to learn how to pray, and also we pray that above all, you may give us the spirit of prayer. For Jesus' sake. Amen.